Tonight's Wednesday night Big Brother recap with Donnie Thompson is sponsored by TrueCar. If you want to feel comfortable that you're getting a fair price, you need pricing context. That's information that empowers you to feel confident. With TrueCar, you could see what other people in your local market paid for the car that you want. And from there, you can connect with a local TrueCar certified dealer and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. TrueCar is going to show you what other people in your area paid for the car that you want, and you can know what a fair price is so you can feel confident. Once you register, you'll see actual pricing on actual inventory. That's competitive pricing offered to you only by a TrueCar certified dealer for an actual vehicle on their lot. It's pricing you'll see before going to a dealership so you can feel confident when you show up. And with TrueCar, you can connect with that local certified dealer of your choosing so you can enjoy a quick and easy car buying experience. TrueCar users are also more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with a TrueCar certified dealer. And best of all, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's very excited to finally get to talk about Drunk Uncle once again. I am Rob Cisterno, and we are back here Wednesday night, Big Brother recap, just 2 weeks away from finale night of Big Brother 19 as we go into the home stretch. And we've got a great guest with us to talk about everything going on in the house. Please welcome back. Great friend of the podcast and a Big Brother fan favorite. Please welcome back America's favorite groundskeeper, Donnie Thompson. Donnie, how are you?
Hey there. Hey, I just brushing my teeth.
For the people listening to the audio, yes, Donnie is combing his beard. He's pulling a Kevin with a toothbrush. Donnie, how have you been?
I've been doing great. How about y'all?
Very good, Donnie. And really excited to have you back on. Always a pleasure. Also with us tonight to talk about everything going on the live feeds, please welcome back Melissa Denny. Melissa, how are you?
I'm good. I was wondering, do you think we could petition to get Bobby Moynihan into the house as a permanent house guest? Because he was doing a great job in the DR.
Yeah, Bobby Moynihan, he is a longtime Big Brother fan. I did speculate once I saw that he left SNL, which, of course, myself and a big shout out to Rich Tackenberg, who is the biggest Bobby Moynihan fan, also a Big Brother fan, must have been going nuts tonight to see his boy Bobby, not saying a boy, in the Big Brother house tonight. So I'm sure that he was thrilled about that and very fun to see Bobby and who I think also Taryn Killam also. I feel like I've seen them on Twitter talk about how they're both Big Brother fans and they watch the live feed. So this made all the sense in the world for to have him come in. And he was really great. That was the highlight of the night. Lots to talk about. Hashtag RHAP. Get your questions in with Donnie. Before we get underway, I also just want to quickly mention, for our listeners, as you're watching the show tonight, if you have a couple of moments to multitask as you're listening, we have a listener survey through our podcast network, Podcast One, at podcastone.com, or just go directly to podcastone.com/mysurvey. If you could take a couple of minutes and fill out a listener demographic survey. I was supposed to promote this on the podcast last week. I forgot. That I got a frantic message that do you have no listeners anymore? So people are very, very concerned about the health of Rob as a podcast. So if you could take a moment, podcastone.com/mysurvey, and give them some information about who's out there listening. It helps them match up the right sponsors with the audience for this podcast. All right, Donnie, what's been going on?
Well, I just been working and watching reality shows, sleeping a lot, eating Pop-Tarts. Same old, same old.
Same old, same old. Okay. And Donnie, I guess the main question I'm sure everybody wants to know at the top of this show, in terms of your fellow bearded Big Brother alumni, Paul, and the game that he is playing, because I think a lot of people have made the comparison to Big Brother 16, including even Josh tonight, who said this.
He's playing comparable to Vanessa Russo, Derek from season 16. I might be jumping the gun, but even Dan Giesling, he has worked this whole house.
So in watching the way that Paul has operated here in Big Brother 19, do you feel like that there is a season 16 vibe to how this has all gone down?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I can see a big alliance, which in our big alliance at the time, I kind of knew who was running the show, but I can see it. Yeah, absolutely. And I can also see why they really don't go against him because of the bracelets that put a little trust in him. And then they saw how when Cody tried to go against it, it didn't work and he went home. So I kind of see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I would have thought those people would have broke up in our house, but they didn't. So I can see more why these people don't.
Yeah. In terms of what Paul has been able to do, do you think that it's a matter of that Paul is just so dominant, or do you feel like that these players in particular have been especially bad?
I feel like both. I feel like Paul has been extremely dominant and these players are lacking a little.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting tonight because we really got to see the duping of Jason and Alex. And then we got to see really for the first time on the show, a lot of Josh having pause about going along with this plan and really stating his objection to both Christmas and ultimately to Paul in this episode. Now, I thought one of the more interesting things about this was Christmas in the diary room talking about this. And I think that this has been a discussion that we've had a little bit on the podcast in terms of, is Christmas making the right decision? Because we heard her vocalize tonight, look, if I get to the final three with either Paul or with Josh or with both those guys, I know both of them are going to take me to the end. I can't win that final two competition. Donnie, should we be giving Christmas a little bit more credit? Because she does have a good point. She probably can't win the final HOH under any circumstances. And the only chance she has to get to the final two is by keeping those guys around.
Yeah, I believe... as much as I hate saying this, it's very disappointing to watch, but I do believe she is right on that. Yeah. Yeah. Because that's her two alliance members, and she wants to keep both of them in there. That's what she feels like.
Am I making this too simple in terms of that what Christmas should be thinking?
It's tough because I see where she's coming from in that this is a very weird situation where she can't really play in the final competition. So it's like it makes sense that she needs two people who both want to take her because she's, you know, quote unquote weak or whatever. So it makes sense where it's coming from. But at the same time, it's like so beyond frustrating that she won't even entertain the conversation. Like, she should at least let Josh vent his frustrations or even just talk to her about these things so that way she can explain to Josh that, you know what, like, you and I are the two pairs. Like, I just don't understand why she's not trying to, you know, maybe cultivate this idea that Josh isn't, you know, so buddy-buddy with Paul, but that they need him rather than just shut him down completely.
Buddy, buddy, or do you mean?
Braver, are you going to go for the
fall? Is my buddy, buddy?
Yes,
I really don't mean that.
a buddy.
No.
Okay, Donnie. I feel like that there's a lot of different things that we can talk about in terms of comparing you with this season. Do you see yourself as more of the Kevin in this house, or do you feel like that in some ways that you were a Josh where you were more vocal about what was going on?
I feel like a little bit of both. I feel like Josh has an insight of what's going on around him like I did. And he's trying to voice it where, you know, I tried and there was no one to listen. They would run and tell people. So, and then the isolation thing of Kevin being alone, I feel like that's, he's a funny guy. He's very likable. They're treating him bad, which is bad. You know, I was never treated bad. I was isolated, but I'd rather be isolated than, you know, crucified.
Yeah, it was frustrating tonight because you had Kevin, who is trying to do a solid for Jason and tell him about what's going on. And Jason is just not having it, that this was the moment after Kevin told Jason that him and Alex are targets this week. This is what Jason had to say about this.
How the hell would you know if I'm the target or not the target? I don't even know if I'm the target or not the target.
Yeah. I mean, what are you talking about, Kevin? Wouldn't Jason know if he was the target being backdoored, Donnie?
I guess well, he thinks he would, but Matt didn't know last week, so he shouldn't know.
I mean, wouldn't he know, Melissa?
No, obviously not. It's so frustrating how he's just like, well, you know, if I don't know this, then you definitely wouldn't know it. Like, he should be taking any bits of information he can get and trying to use it to his advantage. I mean, and it's not that Jason's just so stupid, because he's not. I really don't think that Jason's just a total idiot. I think that he has good instincts and he has good, you know, he has these like epiphanies and these realizations where it's like, oh, wait, so this is what's going on? And then it gets beaten down to a pulp by Alex, and she just makes him dumb. She just ruins it. Any sort of chance that Jason had of doing well in this game was just battered down by Alex, with under Alex's, you know, false pretenses of like, I'm an expert at this game, I'm a super fan, when like she didn't even know who Big Jeff was in her interviews. So, you know, it's just beyond infuriating.
What I didn't get was when they were in the veto competition and it got down to it was Alex and Josh, Donnie, that Alex had to look to Jason like, okay, should I go? Should I try to win this? I'm on the block. You're on the block too. Do I try to win this or do I throw it to Paul? I mean, this isn't like The Price is Right. And it's like, what do you think? $5? Five? Six? What do you think? Like, I mean, this seems like a pretty easy call. If you're on the block, win the veto.
Yeah. Well, she's someone that can't even remember who to vote, you know, on eviction night. So she got up there and says, was I supposed to throw it or was I supposed to win it? Which, yeah. You know, if Paul was going to take her off the block anyway, why didn't Paul just throw it and let her take herself off?
Yeah. Melissa, I was thinking about that myself. Was the reason because then Paul was trying to snow Jason and Alex further and saying that Christmas is going to backdoor me. I've got to win this veto because so that I could be backdoored if I don't win it. So he didn't want to like tip off that he wasn't being backdoored.
Yeah, essentially that was his way of making sure that Alex and Jason threw the veto to him, was to say, you know what, I know I'm the target. I'm the backdoor target. That's what's going on here. That's the only reason they put you two up together, is to backdoor me. She said a strong male competitor. So, you know, I need to win this or else I'm going up on the block and I'm going home. And they were like, we can't have that. No way. We need to keep Paul safe. He's like, you know, our guy. So, you know, that's the reason why they were like so keen on throwing the veto to Paul. And I mean, kudos to Paul. It's very impressive that he was able to get two people on the block to try and throw the veto to him. So,
yeah, I mean, Donnie, this is such a convoluted plan at this point, going all the way back to the HOH competition, where we see that one person in Paul is instructing each player to throw the HOH competition at a certain time so he can have his handpicked HOH, then have them put up his nominations, and then have people potentially throw the veto to him so that he can then orchestrate to take the person down that he wants and have the person who he wants to go up on the block go up as a decoy backdoor target so that he can then decide which person goes home and then tell the person who stays, this was a blindside. I had no idea. I can't believe this. Can you believe this, Trejo? I can't. Oh my God. Alex, you need to throw the next competition to me so I can be Donnie. I mean, is what has gone on here?
I really don't know. It's kind of sad, but yet it's about all the entertainment we got, so I kind of like it, you know, to watch some dumb people make dumb decisions.
Yeah, It's not just that Paul is on such an insane level beyond anybody else in the house. But again, it was refreshing as well to have Josh actually start to voice some of these concerns. And, you know, we saw Josh at the end of the episode mention, he's like, I might go out there and I might mess things up. I might, what did he say? I'm going to mix things up. Melissa, how? What is he doing? What's he going to mix up?
I don't know. Nothing. I honestly, like, it's one of those situations where I've reached the point, like, there's a tipping point where, like, frustration was just building and building and building, and I was getting so infuriated with these people that it was just like, why can't you see this? What's going on? Like, come on. And then now it's like, okay, now I'm kind of, and I wasn't enjoying it for a while because I was just getting more and more angry, and I was upset with Paul and I wasn't happy, and it was just like watching these pathetic people like not be able to do this. Now I feel like the editors as well have reached this tipping point where like now it's good again because it's fun to see these people be so horrible. Like it's fun to see these people do a DR where it's like, I can't believe Kevin would throw the, you know, HOH competition to Paul, you know, and that's exactly what Alex did. And that's why her ally is going to get out. So it's like, that's now where it's a fun time to watch again, where for a little while it was just horrible. And now it's fun because now we all are laughing at these people. It's not like they're trying to pretend that Alex is a good strategist anymore, because I think they gave up on that long ago. So now they're just saying that, you know, these people are idiots. And I also like that Paul has kind of turned into this kid, and now he is, you know, saying in his DR sessions, like, these people are so dumb. Because just like you had said in the previous podcast, like, it was getting so annoying when he was like, I've had a target on my back this whole time. I've, my back's been against the wall, when it hasn't been. And it was all just a big lie. And it's like, we all see that that's not the case. So it's nice to see this turnaround.
Yeah. Donnie, are you on board with that? You enjoying watching Paul dominate and then owning the fact that he's dominating?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. You know, about halfway in the beginning of the season, was like, how can these people be this stupid? And now they're actually getting on board, showing how stupid they are.
Yeah.
It's part of the entertainment.
Yeah. Well,
Big Brother's behind it too now.
I really did enjoy Bobby Moynihan and his appearance coming into the house tonight. And he came in with the pots and pans. Melissa, do you have any issue with Bobby Moynihan coming in with the pots and pans? Was that too much of a ego booster for Josh, where now he feels like your boy is now the favorite for America's favorite meatball?
That's entirely possible, but I will say it's the one time throughout this whole season when I had a smile on my face when pots and pans were brought out. So, you know, I was okay with it. I thought it was cute how Josh was so happy and excited to see Bobby there with the pots and pans. And it was like, I usually hate these like celebrity cameo things because I always feel like it's just to plug their show. They really have absolutely no interest in Big Brother. And most of the time they have no idea what Big Brother even is. But this was nice because you could tell that Bobby has absolutely been watching the show. I mean, I've heard previously that he watches feeds. Not only is he a big fan, but he also is a feeds watcher, I've heard. I don't know if that's the case, but it seems likely. And also, he just was mocking these house guests in the DR and saying everything that we wanted to say and in the DR. Yeah. And being on the show saying those things, it was great.
Donnie, how classic was it that Raven showed her pacemaker to Bobby Moynihan?
Well, I figure she shows it to everybody. She might as well show it to him.
Hey, Bobby, he's my pacemaker. Have you ever seen this before? Yeah. So that was amazing that happened.
I'm really hoping there was like more context to that. And it wasn't just like, hey, check this out. Yeah. It was like, maybe like he asked her about it or something. At least I hope. But knowing Raven, there was probably no context and it was just,
yeah,
her showing it.
Bobby, you don't have an iPhone on you, do you? Yeah, watch out for that. And then also, this was the highlight. This was Bobby Moynihan in the diary room talking about when Paul gave him the friendship bracelet.
This friendship bracelet is going to remind me that if you work hard enough in your life, that dreams can come true, like into the Big Brother house. It's also going to remind me that these people are idiots and should have gotten Paul out at like easily week one.
Yeah, Cody was on. he knew what to do, Donnie.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
He did say something suspicious. That Bobby guy said that they should have got Paul out the first week. They couldn't have,
yes, because of the ring or what was it? Not the ring of replacement, the pendant of protection. That's right.
Yeah.
But I mean, has Paul's ego gotten so big that, okay, I can even manipulate Bobby Moynihan. I'll get him on my side. I'll give him a friendship bracelet. I'm so popular right now that even Bobby Moynihan wants to work with me. Melissa, has he lost his mind?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he might have lost his mind a long time ago. We don't really know. I mean, he's wearing a nice little floaty, like dinosaur floaty or whatever around his waist.
I'm the biggest star on CBS. Everybody wants to be my butty. I'm not Gumpy. Bobby Moynihan needs to play his cards right, or Paul will blindside him. He'll get his show canceled.
I call it merchandising.
Yeah, merchandise.
Seriously. Yeah.
We have the return of the floaty these last couple days, Trejo the floaty. Melissa, what is the better current Paul fashion trend, the 2017 version of the floaty or the floaty or the suspenders with shorts and occasionally no shirt?
None. They're horrible. Every single thing. It's like, why does there have to be something? And now Christmas with her, like, her sweatband around her head and those, like, 70s glasses. It's just like, there's just so many bad fashion choices throughout Big Brother.
Yes. Donnie, do you like the new suspenders look?
Not really. when I was 10, I would have liked all that stuff.
Yeah, so that was very fun. Donnie, a lot of people on Twitter were saying tonight that they thought that it was that the producers were giving a shout out to all of the viewers by seeing the contestants punch, slapped, and kicked tonight.
That's what I was thinking.
Yes.
They were just doing fan service, trying to like show us that like, this is what we know you're looking for. This is what we know you want. Cause I was trying to think like, is there something related to Bobby Moynihan's new show that like, he like created some sort of punch kicker? I don't know, but I know he's like an inventor, but I don't know if there's specifically something that's like, we need to punch, kick and slap the house guests. But I was very excited about it.
Yeah. Not for anything, that this Bobby Moynihan new show sounds like they're really trying. This is almost like a candy bar that has, it's got cookie, it's got wafer, it's got nuts, it's got, I mean, all of these different things. And then there's also the John Larroquette future 65-year-old version of Bobby Moynihan. And what's going on here in this show, Melissa?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. Me, Myself, and I is a great new show coming to CBS. No, I mean, all I know about it is that it's got three ages of his life, and there's little guy, main guy, and old guy.
Do they talk to each other? Is it sort of like a This Is Us thing? Are there flashbacks and flash forwards to the future with John Larroquette?
I think that's what it is.
How is Bobby Moynihan John Larroquette in the future?
What, you don't believe it?
Well, they don't look alike.
Movie magic.
Donnie, can you explain this show?
I cannot.
What can you explain more? Big Brother 19 or Myself and I?
I can't explain either one of them.
I don't get it. And who is the young Bobby Moynihan? Is that Urkel, Melissa?
Yeah, I would assume so, according to the overalls or the suspenders and the
I think that was his friend. Urkel is his friend.
But why were they dressed as 90s Steve Urkel for the competition?
I think so.
It was just a tie-in. Okay. It was a tie-in.
Right. Were they trying to invent Stefan Urkel? Was that what was going on? Okay.
It was just a whole giant This Is Us tie-in where there's boxing, there's fighting, there's Urkel. It's just a lot of everything.
All right. Donnie, in terms of the rest of the cast this season, did you have one person in particular that you felt especially close to?
Of the ones that's left?
No, the whole season.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you as quickly as possible. When they showed the cast in the beginning, just by the profiles, I was excited. You know, we had 16 brand new house guests. You know, you heard rumors that there was going to be returnees, but when you seen 16 newbies, I was like, ooh, this is exciting. When I seen Matt, he said his favorite player was me. He's from Virginia. I was like, ah, I could pull for Matt. Christmas was from North Carolina. I'm from North Carolina. So a lot of people that I liked before the show, I really dislike them now.
Yes.
So
that's the way
I do like... I do like Ramsey's. I mean, I guess I could like them all. Kevin is a great guy. Josh will come around. I think he was put up to a lot of things that he done and try to just be a showman because he, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Donnie, let me ask you a question from one of our listeners. Of course, if you guys have questions for a guest, you can always email the show as well ahead of time, bigbrother@robiswebsite.com. This was a great question from a great friend of the show, Ari Ferrari, who was at the RahapCon last weekend. He writes in to say, Big Brother is such a bizarre game that we just accept Kevin, who's a 55-year-old man, being told what to do and is domineered by the 24-year-old punk kid in Paul. Donnie, can you explain the dynamic inside the house that allows this to be normal? And how do you reconcile with being treated that way as somebody who is, you know, in the real world, you probably wouldn't have a boss that's, 22 or 23 years old. And in a crazy scenario like Big Brother, you do have these types of scenarios where here's Kevin, who is getting bossed around by the 23-year-old reality star or 24-year-old reality star in Paul. How do you wrap your head around that?
Well, here's what I can imagine. I imagine that when he was cast, he knew what he was cast for. I sure did. So he's playing his part the best he can. Now, does he like being treated like that? No, but he saw early on anybody that went against Paul and his bracelet people, they were sent out of the house. So I think he's playing a pretty safe game with what he has to work with. I really do. I don't think he likes the way he's treated, but he knows if he bucks up to it, he'll be the next to go.
Now, Donnie, you were in, you know, that same type of situation back in Big Brother 16. In the time that's passed since that season, have you thought about, is there anything that you could have done differently that somebody like a Kevin could do or even like a Josh could do in the game? And is it too late to do something?
Yeah, for me, it was a unique situation, the whole Team America thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I did win some Battle of the Blocks and I did win some vetoes. But I do admit that I would not be there on day 70 if it hadn't been for Team America.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have been there on day 71 if it wouldn't have been for Team America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kept me in there and they kicked me out.
Yeah.
So, you know, well, with Kevin is a different situation.
I know that was a couple of summers ago. Could you reset what you're talking about with Team America and at that point in the game?
Yeah, Team America was me, Frankie, and Derek. You know, Frankie was the best comp winner. Derek was the brain. And I was just, I don't know what I was.
The fan favorite.
That's right. And they, we were to work together and, do these tasks to get $5,000. And, you know, I was eighth place and my feelings was hurt because I thought we were getting paid to work together. Why not keep me around a couple more weeks, not take me to the end, but just a couple more weeks better than eighth place. So, you know, that was the whole Team America thing. But, you know, I don't hold it against nobody because, you know, once they got me behind a veto, that was the time to strike because I could have won one.
Yeah. So what could somebody who is on the outside of a big group like this do in this type of situation in case there's any future Big Brother player watching this season? How could they save Big Brother 20 or beyond?
I mean, we could watch tomorrow. If Kevin could look up and win the double eviction, head of household, you know, it might make him a target afterward. You know, I don't know what he can do and just ride it out. You know, Kevin could win if he got drugged to the final three and won the final head of household. he could cut someone and he could possibly win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because everybody thinks that that final head of household is there's two physical competitions. And that last one you think is brains. I think it's luck. It's a crapshoot. It's who said this or who said that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I think that anybody in that last competition could win because you don't know what them people in jury is going to say. It's not a fact. It's not like what happened on day 67. That's a fact. It's who said this.
Right. Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah. Besides winning a competition, though, is there any specific tactic you think that the players could do to fight off a situation like we've had this season?
No, I mean, because Paul's running it. If he would have went to someone and told Paul's game, they would have went back and told him. So, you know, unless he can insinuate it and let them think they're thinking it, you know, maybe he could got a group of people and kind of done like Paul does, make a suggestion and let them think that they thought of it. Because if you tell what Paul's doing, I know how it is in there. They were so scared of me. If I opened my mouth, they told everything. Christine woke everybody up one day and told them everything I said. I was there looking at the memory wall, and I'm like, you know, I'm like, I'm stuck here sitting with you, so I'm just going to share some things with you. And I was called to the diary room, and when I came out, she had woke everybody up and had a meeting and told them everything I said. So it's a bad situation.
Because ultimately, in a situation like this, that even though you're trying to, you know, get people to make a move and change the direction of the game, people are only going to look at the information that you're giving them as currency to go back and try to, in the ongoing power struggle that they are in, to be closer to the top of the power dynamic in their own little alliance, right?
That's right. And the people that's, especially this year and probably since 16, they cast so many people that don't watch the show. Or if they do say they watch the show, they've watched a couple television versions. You know what I'm saying? They're not strategic minded. Like when you watch Canada Big Brother, out of the 16 people, you probably got 75% of people that knows what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But in our version, there's so many people that's never watched it. They just say, I'm going to get in this big alliance and we're going to ride it out. And, you know, it's going to work for somebody, but it's not going to work for all the rest. The ride or die. Somebody rides and somebody dies.
Donnie, I know you watch this all very closely. Has there been one move that Paul has made this season that you think was his best?
He is... There was a lot of moves. A lot of moves looked good on TV. They all worked for him. So, you know, every move he makes that keeps him in the house and keeps him off the target, you know, works. But
yeah. Melissa, have you given any thought to this of because I thought it might be fun as we get closer to the end of the season and it looks more and more like a foregone conclusion that Paul ultimately wins. I thought it might be fun, like, to at the end of the season to do like a retrospective of, you know, how Paul got here, or ranking the, you know, the 10 things Paul did that really changed the dynamic or kept him in power all this way. If you had to right now, could you put your finger on one thing?
That's a tough question. I mean, maybe it's this recency bias, but I think the most impressive thing I've seen so far is him getting everyone to throw the HOH, because that's kind of unprecedented, especially at this late stage in the game. You'd think that somebody would try and win it and somebody wouldn't feel comfortable with, you know, whoever, like Christmas, winning it. But he made everybody feel safe in their position that they were willing to throw it, which is impressive. It wasn't just, hey, everyone, throw the competition and then we'll figure it out. He like made each individual person feel safe where they were and secure in their position moving forward with Christmas or whoever becoming HOH. So, yeah, I think that was the most impressive. And someone in the chat is pointing out in the specific order that they did. So it wasn't just like everyone at one point or another throw it. It was like, you will throw it after this person. You will throw it after this person. Like at my cue, you will throw it. Da da da. So, you know, it was, that was impressive for sure.
Donnie, has it surprised you the degree of control that Paul's had in getting people to not take any of the apples from the tree of temptation at any point during these last couple of weeks?
Yeah, not really. I've watched it enough to know that these, like the takeover, they come up with these ideas, but it don't take long for them to get shot, Mm-hmm. I knew when it started, it was designed for a certain reason, and that once that first one got burnt and it really was irrelevant, that it was going to scare anybody from taking it. Mm-hmm. And it had too many negative things. If it had a few more positive things, I think someone would have risked it, because no one even thought they were the target. So, why risk the negative things?
Yeah.
Here's what I think about Paul also. I think that he learned last year, because there were so many couples in the house. If you do go toward the end with a couple couples, then you can turn the couples on each other. And that's what he done again, because last year, they kept Natalie and James and Corey and Nicole, and they went after each other. So this year he's done the same thing. He's kept a couple couples, even several couples toward the end, and he's got them firing at each other. And they're using him, because I always thought in my season, I always thought, If Nicole hadn't came back and I was the last one out, and if I won a veto, and if they ever fired at each other, they would have used me to vote each other out. But say it didn't work out like that. But here he's a single person using doubles to go after each other. It's a pretty good tactic.
Yeah. Have you been surprised that nobody has been able to share enough notes between all of these pairs? I mean, we came into this about 2 weeks ago where there was Maven and there was Josh and Christmas, and then there was Alex and Jason, and of course, Kevin still in the house when Mark was going home, and Paul talked about how, I've got these three pairs, I'm the third person with all of them, and I was like, well, let's see how you pull this one off, buddy, because isn't somebody going to get mad when you get rid of one of the three? Like, isn't the person that stays going to be upset that you're not making a big fuss that the person that you're supposed to be in a three-person alliance with just went home? And so far, Donnie, this has worked to perfection.
It has, and it's because he used people like Alex and Jason to get rid of the competitors. Mm-hmm. They got rid of the Cody, the Jessicas, the Marks. None of the rest of them are capable of winning head of household or any competition. So now he's going to get rid of Jason. The only other one Paul has to worry about is Alex, and he just saved her. So he ain't got to worry about anybody else winning competitions. Yeah. So that's what he did when he cut the other one. They had nowhere else to go, and he was like, hey, look what I done for you. And they have to accept it, whether in their mind if they want to or not. It's all they got left, because their partner just left.
Okay. We also saw tonight Josh and Christmas getting into it a bit about the Paul subject. Christmas had a very short attention span for wanting to hear bad stuff about Paul. There was a moment where Josh walked away. Christmas got very upset, and she really gave him the business, Donnie.
I know. But the thing about it is they've watched it happen all summer. Everybody has told him, if he says, I think I'll go take a nap, Paul says, no, don't do that. If he says, I'm going to eat this, they say no. They've bossed him around all summer, and it has worked. So if he starts to say something that makes sense, they can just boss him around, and he'll quit talking about it. Bless his heart.
Yeah, bless his heart. My favorite part of that whole sequence was then when Raven came into the room, and then she's like, hey, y'all, what's going on? And Christmas is like, none of your business. You don't need to know. Worry about your own business. And then my real favorite part is then when Raven asked Josh,
Juju, what you doing?
Juju, what you doing? Melissa, is that a nickname for Josh, Juju?
I don't know anymore. Raven comes up with the weirdest words. Buddy, buddy,
what you do?
Juju, what you do?
What you do? I wouldn't be able to take her seriously in the house. I'd be like, okay, stop. No, I'm not telling you anything.
Yeah. Hey, and if Raven was really a gamer, she would see some animosity there, and she would have worked on Josh a little bit.
No, she's just going to go to the end with Paul. Paul and her are the best players in the game.
Yeah, yeah. Paven.
Okay, let's take some questions here from you guys. Hashtag RHAP. Scott St. Pierre is standing by. Here's from Aubra, who wants to know, does Donnie still eat a Pop-Tart every morning, or does he switch to cereal in honor of the best player of the season? Donnie, you mentioned the Pop-Tarts at the top of the show. You're still eating them?
I eat Pop-Tarts on the weekend. I do eat cereal during the week.
Stick to Corvette.
I don't know why, but I get up at 5:30 and I go to work real early. So you would think that Pop-Tarts would be quicker than cereal, but I guess cereal fills me up when I work, and I eat Pop-Tarts on the weekend.
Okay. What flavor Pop-Tarts?
Well, I like different kinds, but right now I'm really high up on Frosted Cookies and Cream.
Frosted Ooh. Cookies and Cream. Wow.
Oh yeah.
Okay. All right. Hold on. Let's try this. Jill Wall wants to know, did the convo in the HOH room where Paul asked if he should pull Alex really happen before the veto competition? Melissa, is that the correct order of events?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, that conversation was going on like throughout the process, like the whole time they were planning for this. So it wasn't, and it was a lot of Paul just saying, like, that he was going to do this. Josh saying that he shouldn't do this because that makes, you know, that leaves Paul with no blood on his hands, but everyone else has blood on his hands. And, you know, that just kept going on and on. And it was one of those things where it was like, how does Christmas not see this? How, I mean, either she sees it and she's choosing to ignore it, or she's just totally oblivious. So, I mean, That conversation was ongoing and just becoming a huge frustration to everyone.
Donnie, do you think there is wisdom on Christmas's part to go along with this plan where that, okay, let's let Paul take Alex down off the block, keep Alex in his back pocket. If she does believe that Paul is one of her two ride or dies, they're going to go to the final three, where then if Alex is in a position where she does get HOH, at least Paul would still be in her ear. Whereas if she won HOH and she felt like everybody screwed her over and she wouldn't listen to anybody and would be a true free agent.
I have to have confidence enough that I think she is aware that they will be the last couple, her and Josh, that they do need Paul as the third one. At least they're the last pair. I don't know how much she thinks that Paul is with them 100%, but she does know that Josh is with them 100%. So I hope she has a little more insight than she's letting out, and she just don't want Josh's mouth to go ruin it. Because like y'all said the other night, I believe the best way that Josh and Christmas together can get to the final three is with Paul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that this was a point that was brought up. I think this was on yesterday's update with Taryn and Liana, where they talked about Christmas does not really care if she wins the game. If she gets to the final two, she has a big following. She has a book. She feels like that maybe she is going to have some national attention being the person that broke their foot and still ended up, you know, she won a running competition on Big Brother. She got to the end. She persevered. She kept in great shape. Does she feel like, Donnie, that she could only maybe screw things up for her career by doing something underhanded and blindsiding a fan favorite in Paul?
Nah. I would like to say I think she's stupid enough, but I've got to have faith that she does think that, you know how them idiots said in the beginning, I just want to make it the jury. I don't think they all really meant that. I think that just buys them to jury. And then you go into different mode. I want to go as far as I can. I think she wants to make it to the final three, and I think she knows she can articulate it pretty good. I don't know if she could beat them or not, but she's just counting on, you got to make it to final three to make it to final two. And you got to be butty-butty with someone, because if you don't win that last one, you've got to have someone to take you. And I think she's playing the whole foot up so they think that she's a dead ringer and they will take her. And then I think we'll see a little bit smarter Christmas if she had to explain the game she played.
Yeah.
I think she'll explain it better than we've seen it.
Right. If she's sitting in the final two with Josh, we could hear Raven ask this question.
Juju, what'd you do?
I did plenty!
Okay. Just hearing that over my headphones is like creeping me out.
It's a little creepy.
Okay. She's like whispery and like, I don't.
All right. Our good friend Alex Jacob says, this may be a hot take, but I think Paul is overplaying. It's going to get him in trouble. Why not let Alex win the veto there? Look, we've been saying for 2 months on this show, boy, Paul's overplaying. This is going to catch up to him at some point. Donnie, isn't it a little late for that? That if it was going to catch up to him, wouldn't it have caught up to him already?
With the big alliance mentality, it got him that far. I can understand why it hasn't worked up to this point. But after tomorrow, when two goes like that and it's down to five, I feel like, and I might just be wanting to believe this, I feel like it could catch up with him. You know, the way I'm setting this game up right now is someone could take Paul out and this would be an okay season. Or Paul could win and he played the best game. It was an decent season.
Right.
And then we can go on and watch Survivor.
I do think that Paul could still lose the game, but I do think that
he still could lose the game.
I think that what that looks like is Paul getting evicted in a scenario where it takes only one vote at like a final four, Josh wins the final four veto. Or if there was some situation where Kevin won the final five HOH and then there was one vote against him and the HOH broke the tie. But I think that you're getting down to the situation where it would have to be sort of all like a one in one or a one vote person to take him out, that he has that much control that you have to get it down to only specific people voting to take him out.
Sure.
I feel like we're at a point in the game where there's no, oh, is it going to catch up to him? Is Paul going to be found out? I feel like there's nothing really to find out at this point, because any situation where someone's like, wait, did you know about this plan? He's going to say, you told me to pretend to work with so-and-so, so I was pretending to work with them. You told me to pretend to work with so-. He has all these like fake side deals that are actually real deals with people, so that way people don't suspect him. So he can just talk his way out of whatever situation is going on. I felt like the one time that there was a situation where Paul might have been found out by someone was when he knew that Kevin won the $25,000 from the beginning and was telling him to lie and was saying, making up stories about Ramsey's having it. But then that just came and went with nothing. It was just like came and went with a whimper, and that was that. And he didn't get found out. So if that's not going to do it, I don't think there's going to be anything further in this game that's going to be like, oh my God, this is the big reveal. We all found out that Paul's been like betraying us. That's just Paul, and he's going to do it. And honestly, at this point in the game, if Paul doesn't win, I'm kind of going to be upset, because he's the only one who really deserves to win at this point, unless something crazy happens and Josh takes it upon himself or whatever to, you know, go against Paul and lead a crusade and take him out. I don't really want to see a situation where Paul gets the end and then just, I guess I'll evict Paul. And then Paul just goes out the door and it's left with like people who really weren't playing the entire game. So, you know, that's how I see the game going down at this point anyway. So.
Okay, and we'll talk through what could happen potentially in the double eviction show coming up in our live feeds. Let's do one more question before we get to the feeds. Kelly Slay Ann, what does "do not interrupt me when I'm done" mean? Melissa, who said that?
Christmas.
Yes, okay. I think that Christmas was raging so hard that she said...
Sounds like Christmas.
Yeah, she said to Josh, I'm not like one of your little effing club whores that you can talk to any way that you want. I mean, I don't really know a lot about Josh, but I didn't know that was him at all, Melissa.
that was something he... Yeah, I didn't know that either. So I I'm kind of glad that this show, you know, is showing Christmas to have that like kind of rage issue that she has, because she's been pretty squeaky clean up to this point. And that I'm glad that they're really starting to show like how she truly behaves randomly. She'll just get like really fired up about nothing. So yeah, I was glad they showed it.
Like, I didn't really imagine Josh showing up at the club and being like, okay, all you meatballs, who's ready to come home?
Yeah, not seeing that either.
Yeah. All right. Donnie, are you ready to talk about some live feeds?
Well, I knew nothing about it because I don't watch
that. That's okay. That's okay. We're going to talk about that and the double eviction coming up in just a moment. Spoiler alert, not that much going on, Donnie. You'll be fine.
Yeah, okay. I ain't missing much.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that and much more. If you are going to be bouncing out right now, we are going to be back on Thursday night with our double eviction show. I am going to be joined by Brent and Taryn after the eviction to talk about everything that went down. Who knows? It's double eviction night. Anything could happen, I guess. I mean, right? Possibly anything could happen, Melissa.
Maybe, but I think we kind of know generally what's going to happen. So,
yeah.
But I'm excited for the outcome anyway.
We'll see.
So even if this goes down the way it's seemingly going to go down, I'm very excited.
Probably
about it.
Nothing will happen, but I guess there's a chance. All right. So we'll talk about that. And then in the meantime, let's get into talking about the live feeds.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler. This
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes. Okay. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the live feeds. Melissa, anything going on?
Nothing. It was so boring to watch, yeah. Like these past couple days, just so boring. But
so
I mean,
here's what I want to ask you about something. So, there was some discussion with Kevin and Jason about this idea that maybe Kevin could potentially fall on the sword for his buddy Jason. Could you talk about how this came up and what the, where that stands at this hour?
That was kind of just, I feel like it's just talk. It's a lot of people say that stuff all the time, and the odds that production will let that happen are slim to none. Basically they were just like walking around the yard and Kevin said it to Jason at one point or another, that, you know, well, if you're going to be voted out, I'm just going to self-evict so you don't have to go home. But you just know that production's going to be like, you know, Kevin, if you decide to do that, that's fine, but Jason will go home anyway. So it's not like it'll save the eviction or it'll make it so that Jason doesn't have to go home. I just don't see them letting him do that at this point in the game, especially. So I don't see anything coming of it. I think people are making a bigger deal of it than it really should be. So, yeah, I don't see Kevin self-evicting.
No, I hope it happens. I hope it happens. And here's what I hope. So I want to see on Thursday night. So I want to see Kevin stand up and say, you know, I've had it with these guys. You know, I want my buddy Jason to win. That's fine. Jason's
that's
the greatest guy
impression.
I've ever met. He's the good. He's the best guy. He's a stand up guy. We never do anything bad. I love this guy. He's coming to Thanksgiving dinner. Screw you guys. I'm out of here. But we see Kevin walk off the set, go right into the arms of his family that say, hey, have you seen this article from TMZ, Dad? Have you seen this? What's going on with this guy, Jason? You believe this guy? Oh, you're kidding me? Why didn't anybody tell me about this before I walked out of the house for this guy?
I swear to God, I feel like I'm listening to Kevin right now. That was probably like my favorite impression of that you've ever done.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Donnie, I mean, Kevin's going to feel really not so great if he sees the saga of what Jason said about Kevin and then potentially walking out the door for Kevin.
I think he's just saying it. I think he just wants Jason to feel relaxed and have a good couple of days. Don't be so paranoid. Don't go and talk to people. Just chill like Kevin's been. He's like, well, I'm just chilling by myself. Let's just chill. Pacify his brain a little bit. Say, hey, you ain't going nowhere because if it comes down to it, I'll go. Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
Yeah.
It's just words. Mm-hmm. He ain't going nowhere.
No, I agree with
okay,
that.
Okay, so let's just try to talk through the scenarios of the double eviction then at this point. Because we have now Christmas can't play in the HOH. That comes down to, and Jason will be gone. So that leaves Josh, Raven, Alex, who is not going to take this well, right? She's going to be shook.
Yeah.
She'll be shook.
Presumably, she will be shook.
Okay. And then Paul and Kevin. Okay. So one of those five people will be the HOH. And is there any talk, Melissa, of who they are throwing it to?
I'm trying to remember because at this point I'm getting very confused because Paul keeps having different conversations with every single person and it's hard to keep track of what is really the intention or not because Paul and Raven were just having a conversation during the episode saying that, you know, or like before the episode saying that they were going to try and get Raven to win it or they're both going to gun for it and that Paul was going to give her a signal if he wanted her to throw it to him. Like he was going to say, this is really Gumpy if she wanted her to throw it to him. So I kind of have a feeling that they would be cool with Raven winning it. But I feel like Paul doesn't want to win it because that kind of takes him out of the running for the next one. I feel like he wants someone else to win it. So I don't think he's going to ask them to throw it to him, but I'm not positive. They all seem to be under the general assumption that they're going to get Alex out during the double eviction. Okay. That's kind of the general consensus.
So the overall plan is Alex and Kevin go up on the block and the house will vote out Alex, right?
Yeah, that's generally what it is. I think that the plan is probably to convince Alex that they're all getting out Kevin so that maybe somehow they can convince Alex to throw the veto again and then get her out, which I absolutely would see Alex throwing the veto in this scenario. Like, I could totally see her doing that because, you know, she trusts implicitly
after all this,
Christmas and Paul and everyone.
After Jason goes out the door, she's going to still throw the veto? And if she's on the block?
I think what's going to happen is that if Paul tells her to not win it, she'll do it because Paul in this situation is coming out squeaky clean. Like I had no idea because he's going to vote to evict Kevin and turn it into a tie. So he is totally in the clear and Alex will think he was on my side this whole time. And if Paul can tell her, this is what you need to do in order for us to stay safe or something like that, she'll do it.
Maybe
she would do it.
If he's like, Alex, don't use the veto. They'll put me up on the block as a replacement nominee.
Right.
I haven't been on the block yet. I'll go home. Don't do it. I need you to stay on the block. Take one for me because you'll be safe. I won't. So that's possibly what could happen. Donnie, do you have a prediction for Thursday night?
I don't know. I just know that two people will go home that don't think they're going home. So we're going to get good television. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We're going to get some blindsides.
Yeah. Okay. Is there any scenario where, you know, again, it's just like, it's so crazy that why would she, I almost understand the veto more than the HOH. Why would she throw the HOH here, Melissa, that after Jason gets blindsided, why would she listen to Paul and throw the HOH if she has the chance to win it?
I think the situation where she throws the HOH is if Paul is still there and says, throw it to me, I'll do it. And he convinces her to do that, which I could absolutely see happening is.
But that's not good for Paul. I think that Paul would almost rather have Alex be the HOH than himself be the HOH.
Yeah.
I mean, he wants Alex to go this week, though. So I don't know if I see him wanting to get Alex to throw to him somehow and then convince her to, you know, that he was going to win it and then maybe throw it to someone else. I don't quite know the situation, but I don't think he would want her to win it. I don't think anyone would want her to win it. So I think they're all going to try and get her, knock her out first.
Can I just ask one quick question of why do we need to get Alex out of the house?
Because she's a huge competition threat.
Is she
she's
a
like
jury
one of the few
threat?
People left
is she not going to take
stuff.
Paul to the end? I mean, is she not going to have Paul as her ride or die even if she wins the final three HOH? Is she going to really vote out Paul at the final three? Does she know anything?
Well, I think that if he doesn't get Alex out, he's going to upset a lot more people.
Mm-hmm.
So if the situation happens where Alex doesn't leave this next this next week or this, you know, double eviction, then we've got a super angry, super pissed Josh and Christmas. I mean, Christmas even said, if he doesn't get Alex out this week, you're going to see the wrath of Christmas come out or whatever.
Oh, boy.
So, I mean, the Grinch will come out. So there's going to be a lot of people really angry. I mean, Raven wants Alex out. Kevin wants Alex out. So pretty much everybody left, except for Alex, wants Alex out. So Paul knows that he's going to be in huge trouble if he, like, pulls some major upset and saves Alex this week. So,
okay.
I don't think Alex will throw it. I don't. Not during a double. It's really quick like that. She ain't got time to talk. If he goes to get in her head, I think she thinks, I'm only safe if I win head of household. So I don't think Alex will throw it in that situation with a double. If there was a whole week to think about, and I don't think Paul will beat her hard because he might think, Alex ain't going to put me up. I have a whole week and I can win head of household next week if I see I need to. So I don't think Paul will throw it, but I don't think Paul will get upset if Alex won.
No, yeah. I agree with that.
I mean, this is such an unusual season of reality TV where I don't think we've ever had anything like this before, where we have one player who is not only so dominant that every week he gets a person to basically give up their life in the game and put themselves in the position that they could be voted out, and then they go out and don't know what happened. Like that he's convinced every single person to get into this posture of not being put my head right here. So just put my head right here on the chopping block. Okay. All right. And then you're not going to do anything, right? This is a good trick. We'll trick the other people, because if I put my head there, then they'll think that it's not going to be them, but it's really going to be them. Okay. I mean, this, how many weeks in a row does this happen?
I honestly thought that people would catch on long ago. I thought that there was for sure going to be people catching on, and there was for sure going to be people talking. I really saw like a Pauly Calafiore situation going on here, where all of a sudden everyone talks and they realize, like, wait a second, what the heck is going on here? But nobody cared.
Hey, we can only have one of those Pauly Calafiore situations.
I guess, yeah.
With all due respect to Donnie, who played with my brother Cody.
Even voted for him.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Thank you, Donnie. The Calafiore family is forever in your honor.
That Pauly impression. Right.
This is from Miranda, who says, does Paul have an idea that Josh is on him, or is it mostly diary room talk? Melissa, has Josh or has Paul voiced any concerns about Josh's doubts?
He hasn't really voiced concerns. It's more like when Josh comes to him with these, like, hey, I don't know if we should do it this way. But Josh isn't very aggressive with his, you know, confrontations with Paul. It's more just like, hey, I don't think this is a good idea to do this it this way. How do we do it this way? And Paul's like, no, we're not doing that. And Chris was like, Josh, no, we're not doing that. And then that's the end of that. So I think Paul is maybe starting to get a little bit suspicious of the fact that Josh seems to be bringing these concerns to him, whereas before nobody was bringing any concerns. But at the same time, he thinks he can just control him, and that if he tells him, no, we're not doing it that way, and Josh backs off, that's the end of it, and Josh's brain kind of resets. But that's not really the case.
Okay, let's do one or two more questions. This one is from Mr. K17. Donnie, as an insider looking out with Derek's gameplay and an outsider looking at Paul's game, whose game do you believe is better? So if you were going to rank Derek versus Paul, are they close? Do you feel like that Paul needs to win the game first and then you'll get back to us?
Yeah. The difference now, neither one of them's been on the block, but Derek won, and Derek didn't have as much help in the beginning. So, that's the way I would look at it. This season really will look good on paper for Paul, but, he was safe for 3 weeks. He got, 8 bracelets. That was a 9-person alliance. When the first person went against him, they went home. That kind of shook everybody up, said, we can't go against him. You know, well, like Devin said, I'll take you all to the end. These crazy people thought Paul was going to take them all to the end. And it's taken them further than if they would have went against him. So right now, I think Derek's a much better player. If Paul wins, then I'll have to really think about it. But now I won't think about it because Derek didn't have that much help.
Also, Derek was a new player, had not played one day of Big Brother before anybody else in the house. So it was an even playing field for him coming in as opposed to Paul, who had just previously played 1 year ago, 90 some odd days of Big Brother, plus got the pendant of protection for the first 3 weeks of the game and the opportunity to make half of the house safe on the first night, taking nothing away from what Paul has accomplished this season. But if you were just going to look at what Derek did against, and I would say, and with present company very included, against better competition, what Derek had done in Big Brother 16, I think is a I think that that's probably the higher degree of difficulty than what Paul was able to do.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
This is from John Densford. Should we read anything into the fact that Paul's real logic for using the POV to keep Alex calm in the diary in the double eviction wasn't shown at all? Melissa, is that just too inside baseball for the TV show?
Yeah, I mean, I think that would kind of then allow them to admit that the house guests know about the double eviction, or that they, you know, already assume that a double eviction is coming. And I think that they wouldn't want to share that with the audience. And plus, I think it kind of covers it with the whole, oh, you know, I want Alex to, you know, I want to come out squeaky clean on this one. And I think that is more, it's more fun to watch that aspect of it than it is like, oh, let's just like calm her down so we can like put her out of her misery and like kill her later. So, you know.
Okay. Let's do one more question here, Scott. Katanga says, in a recent interview with Paul, Alex was clueless about how the final three HOH unfolds. How are newbies prepped before entering the Big Brother house? Well, Alex, who was a recruit, I believe, said that she wanted to come into the house and she didn't want to win on her first try like Nicole, and she wanted to come back and then win on her second try. Is there, Donnie, I know that... When you went through casting, could you talk us a little bit about like what they do to sort of prep you in terms of the season?
Really nothing besides once they kidnap you, you can ask for some seasons, and I think they only had like four or five. I watched three episodes of season 10, and I watched three episodes of season 15. And I didn't watch anymore. I had already watched them.
You don't have to. They're not mandatory. They say, hey, if you want some Big Brother seasons, we have them.
That's right. That's right. Because out of 6 days that I was in sequester, I watched three episodes one day and three. And then I done puzzle books. You know, I've seen them things. Why do I want to see them again? So I knew, you know. So, you know, some people like Hayden crushed them because he never watched Big Brother before. But really, how much can you get out of those TV shows? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then if she started some and didn't get to the end, she ain't going to realize how that final three works.
Right.
So I can understand why she don't. They don't ask you questions. They don't teach you nothing. They don't want you to know nothing.
Right.
So do they give you an option for what seasons to watch, or do they just say, here's some DVDs?
Well, I don't think all of them are on DVD.
There wasn't all available. They asked me if you wanted to watch any the first night. I said no. All right. When Jeff interviewed me, I was so tickled. I said, when they called me, I said, I want to watch Jeff's seasons. And they sent me season 10. So I watched the first three episodes.
They don't even know what season Jeff was on.
They're like, just take this one.
So I don't think they had it available. I don't think they had it available. Just kind of like this season. They have mentioned Evil Dick. They mentioned Derek. So I imagine they had season 8, season 16. Seems like they mentioned someone season 12 or 13. They probably only had a few options.
A lot of people were mentioning watching season 16 in particular, and everyone seems to think that that's the season that production wants people to watch.
Yeah.
It's because in their mindset, it's like, hey, a big alliance. Because in my mindset, if I was to ever go back, my first initial thing is, I hope I'm sitting in the head of household when an 8-person alliance forms and I can be in it. So that so-called the bracelets, it put me in that mindset. If you get in a big alliance, it goes like you want it to.
And I would even bet that there's probably no chance that they gave them Big Brother 8. I bet they gave them Big Brother 13, and people are just watching.
There you go.
Because they're watching in sequester. They're only getting through, like, the first three episodes, and that's why they have so much, evil dick on the mind, that they don't know what happens in that season. Yeah, they watched the first episode. Okay.
Let me ask you something. Yes. Can I ask you something, Rob? Have you thought about, in all the seasons that they've had returning players to come back, that all of them except one returning player, the season has ended with first place or second place?
Mm-hmm.
Rachel, season 13. Season 14, Dan made it to second place. Last year, even OTT.
Even Big Brother Canada.
Made it to final two. Canada had returning players. Kevin won. So you're either first place or second place.
Sure.
I'll go back.
Of course, Donnie. Dalton Ross actually wrote a piece about this on Entertainment Weekly. He talked about all of the Big Brother seasons and also gave the Survivor examples of all the times that they brought a Survivor back, whether it's Stephanie LaGrosa or Boston Rob or Coach, that, you know, for the most part, that there has been, when they bring people back, that they end up going very far into the game, with a few exceptions. And it really is a big advantage in terms of that. But I think that people need, I mean, I think that people do know that going in. I just, that for whatever reason, you know, that there tends to be like what they get, like when they bring back multiple, they get one of them early and then the other one they just seem to forget about.
Yeah.
It's a thing. What are you going to do? That the fans don't love it. But, you know, it feels like to me, from the network perspective, it's like they have a cast. It's like, but we don't have a face to promote. Why are people going to watch? The audience doesn't know any of these people. Oh, okay. What if we take a popular person and then they could be the face of the promotion? Then people will watch the show again. It's like, well, people watch the show because they like the show. They don't need necessarily, like, there's not one person who was like, well, I wasn't going to watch Big Brother this summer.
Yeah.
But if Paul is back, I'll watch it.
It doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Yeah. But
save it for an All-Stars.
It's for the marketing. I think that's where that comes from, that somebody at the network is like, hey, how do we promote this season? What's our big thing? It's like, okay, well, we'll bring back this popular player, and that's how we'll do it. Okay. A lot of stuff coming up on the podcast. So You Think You Can Dance, Rehap Up is back once again with Lita and Kelly. And then a great week of Australian Survivor, supersized exit interview with Nick Yadanza is up on the Wrap Ups, and our own Taryn Armstrong killing it on the Taryn Show. In addition to talking to the great Melissa Denny last week, he is talking with Aubrey Bracco this past week. I listened to that this morning. Great job by Taryn. Good insight into everything going on with Aubrey. And then Josh Wigler was on location for Survivor 35 in Fiji. He recorded interviews with all 18 Survivor cast members exclusively for RHAP. The first of those two interviews went up in the podcast feed yesterday. I got to hear what Cole Meadors and Katrina Radke had to say for the very first time. And that was a very fun podcast episode. We'll have another one of those on Friday. And then, of course, Taryn will be back tomorrow morning to get you set up for the double eviction at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. And then we'll be live after the episode. Myself, Taryn, and Brent coming up at 10:15 p.m. Eastern time following the double eviction. And we'll see what happens there. And also the next episode of Josh Wigley. Podcast series First One Out is going to be dropping in the podcast feed as well, coming up on Thursday, so be on the lookout for that. What a great job that Taryn did putting that together, and Josh Wigler's vision on that. Donnie, are you excited for Survivor 35?
Absolutely. After this season, I'm pumped for any other reality show,
Donnie,
especially Survivor.
Are you a healer, a hustler, or a hero?
I'm probably a hustler disguised as a hero.
Yes. Okay. Well, you were part of Team America, so I guess that makes you a hero.
I guess.
Yeah.
And I was in the military, right?
Yes, yeah. And you were, yes. And of course, in the military as well. All right. Donnie, great job. Always nice to see you. That I feel that I really just want to take a moment and thank you that you are a great supporter of RHAP and everything that we're doing. And I certainly appreciate that. So thank you so Absolutely. Much. And yeah, and a big shout out to your brother as well. I know that he is a listener of the podcast Absolutely. And you guys always check it out. So appreciate that, Donnie.
We listen to all of them. I watch the episode at my house, and then me and Tommy watches them the next day. All of them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, Donnie, so thank you so much. Of course, you could follow Donnie on Twitter. Donnie, what is your Twitter? It is Donnie Thompson BB.
Donnie Thompson BB. Yeah. Okay.
At Donnie Thompson BB. And then Melissa, great job. Always fun to catch up with you and everything with going on with the live feeds. Melissa, what is your Twitter handle as well if people want to check out what you have to say?
You're trying to make me say it instead of you this time? You're just trying to tease me about this again? It's Melissa with three A's.
Okay. All right, there you go.
And I'm proud of it.
All right. There, it's Melissa on Twitter. All right. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Very much looking forward to the double eviction and seeing what happens. And if you have a moment to fill out that survey on Podcast One, go to podcastone.com/mysurvey. Take care. Oh, we need a hashtag. We need a well, Donnie, what's the...
I liked Donnie's bracelet people.
There you go. Hashtag bracelet people. Take care, everybody. Have a great night. Bye.